about to pass away. For life presents us possibilities each and every day. I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me. Sun rose high and burnt the night away. Who stood before me was my enemy.
Don't tread on me.
He's come to take away my liberties. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
Don't treat me this way.
I'd rather die than be your slave. I will survive. They lay dead by me. Hit them hard, we made them pay that day. We hung the traitors from the highest tree.
Mercy from me.
Lost a lot, our pain was heavy. We sacrificed for God and country.
No more color.
Still held the ground that was in front of me. This was the price to pay for liberty.
Still you hear me say,
I'd rather die than be your slave.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots, and jackbooted thugs alike. This, again, is the time that you've been waiting for, the Hour of Power. It is the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. I see there's lots of people already lined up on the phone lines, so if you're not already lined up and you want to call in, The numbers, as always, 858-683-1326. 858-683-1326. And there's a lot of stuff in the news tonight. I guess we're going to have to address some of the stuff in the news tonight, but we will start out, as we always do, with This Week in History. And that's because it's a very big week historically. First of all, we'll go back to what happened very shortly time ago, 15 years ago today. Good old President William Jefferson Blythe Clinton was impeached on his date 15 years ago today. I would say that maybe the quote-unquote conservatives in the Congress at that point had more balls than they do now, but as we know, in the Senate, they did not convict. We know they impeached the president in the House. That's how it worked for those of you all in the government indoctrination camps called public schools. But they did not convict him in the Senate. So good old Slick Willie was allowed to stay in as president. That was 15 years ago today. Also of importance was on this date in 1776 was the publishing of Thomas Paine's The American Crisis. And I would invite you all to go do a start page search on that, The American Crisis by Thomas Paine, written on this date in 1776. And finally, the thing that we're going to focus on the most historically tonight was the corruption that we mourn. We don't celebrate it, my God. I guess the globalists and the state celebrate it. But we mourn the fact that the private Federal Reserve sinisterly and unlawfully took over America's money 100 years ago this coming weekend. 100 years ago, the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor a reserve, illegally, immorally stole the money system of the United States of America. And few people perceive the truth about the Federal Reserve, and rare are those who know its origins. So again, if you want to stop me at any time, by all means, press the 1 on your phone, and we'll get you on the airwaves and see if you have something productive and intuitive to say. But rare are those who know the origins of the Federal Reserve, and it's right in front of us. But the relative ignorance of economics and history in this country today protects the Federal Reserve, and maybe a quick history lesson is in order. Got to go back to about 1,000 years ago. King William I, the Conqueror, founding the English monarchy. That was back in 1066. And you had the corporation with a capital C that was created by King William to facilitate trade and to assure the continuation of the wealth of the monarchy. And the City of London's legal name is the Corporation of the City of London. The City of London has unique political and economic privileges that do not apply to Greater London or anyone else in the British realm. The quote-unquote City of London even has its own sovereign police force. So we fast forward 600 years later, 1694, get the Bank of England granted a royal charter by William III. If you're following along, that would be the grandson of William the Conqueror. 1694, the Bank of England was granted this charter to regularize the monarch's finances. And this scheme was invented by a Scot promoter by the name of William Paterson. What scheme is that? The scheme was to create a bank with a, quote, fund for perpetual interest, unquote. And all of a sudden, voila, you had fractional reserve banking being created out of thin air, just like the money they create is out of thin air. And you had the radical monetary concept of a monopoly bank, which would create money for loans that would never be repaid. And you had a perpetual money machine for the monarchy that was born. The permanent national debt in the Bank of England was born at that time. The Bank of England would finance the empire from its headquarters in, you guessed it, the corporate city of London, the corporation. Never again would the lack of money or liquidity hamper the British Empire under normal economic conditions. And conveniently, the monarchy also controls the city of London. So this assured that the heart of the corrupt economic machine would always be protected. Fast forward a little bit more, let's get up to 1812. That was when the War of 1812 went down, and it was a direct result of long simmering disputes with Great Britain and the United States. The central dispute surrounded the impressment of American soldiers by the British. British had previously attacked the USS Chesapeake and caused a war 2 years earlier. And you also had disputes with Great Britain and Canada. Finally, the attempts of Great Britain to impose a blockade on France during the Napoleonic Wars was a constant source of conflict with the U.S. So the U.S. did everything in their power to remove the British influence and control from our continent. Again and again, we would defeat all attempts to allow our money to be controlled by a central bank. Sound familiar today? We have to fight again and again. When something is defeated in legislation, they just keep bringing it up again, up again, up again. When central banks were established, we abolished them. But times changed, and here came Woodrow Wilson. He was the intellectual, don't you know, who wanted the League of Nations. The bastard father of the United Nations, the League of Nations, was elected Woodrow Wilson. Under his presidency and his quote-unquote leadership, we received the Federal Reserve and the income tax, the illegally unconstitutional, not ratified income tax, shackling us into the slavery to the crown forever. So that brings us up to 100 years ago this coming weekend when the Federal Reserve Act, December 23rd, 1913, also known as the Glass-Owen Bill, was passed. The Republican-controlled Senate, maybe I should say that again, the Republican-controlled Senate rammed the Federal Reserve Act through when many members of Congress were home for the holiday. Damn, doesn't that sound familiar to what our politicians do today? And the president, the good Dr. Woodrow Wilson, signed it into law 1 hour after it was passed by the Congress. Somebody really powerful, very powerful, apparently, wanted this passed, don't you think? And the Federal Reserve, make no bones about it, is an independent central bank. Oh, the President of the United States appoints the chairman of the Federal Reserve, putting out that fraud and that front, and the appointment is approved by the U.S. Senate. But the decisions of the Federal Reserve do not need ratification by the President or anyone else in the executive branch of the U.S. government. You see, buried deep in the legislation, where we heard this before, you got to pass it before we know what's in it. Buried deep in the legislation was the granting of total power over the monetary policies of all United States banks. And a very curious statement is found in the original 1913 law. The right to amend, alter, or repeal this act is hereby expressly reserved. Reserved by whom or what? But no definition is provided. That little section there in Section 30 of the 1913 law says the right to amend, alter, or repeal this act is hereby expressly reserved. And they don't tell you what or who can reserve it. Curiouser and curiouser, cried Alice. We'll now go to the phone lines, unscreened, unsolicited, uncensored. We're going to the 502 area code with a 43 prefix. Caller, you're on the air. Who is this?
Is this the Ed Springsteen Show?
This is the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. Yes, sir. And the caller drops off. That was enlightening and entertaining. I guess he was looking for Mr. Springsteen. Mr. Springsteen, wish I'd caught the phone number of that person trying to call you. Apparently they were looking for you, that or maybe they were one of these prank callers. But continuing with the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, no senator or representative in Congress shall be a member of the Federal Reserve Board or an officer or director of a Federal Reserve Bank. No member of Congress is to have access to this inner sanctum. And that might sound good in theory, but again, if they don't have control, who does? What the hell is this? Are they afraid that an American might come up on something untoward, a Federal Reserve Bank, including the capital stock and surplus therein, and the income derived therefrom? I think we're on a roll now, folks. Section 25 of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Any national banking association possessing a capital and surplus of $1 million or more may file application with the Federal Reserve Board for the purpose of securing authority to establish branches in foreign countries or dependencies of the United States. For the furtherance of the foreign commerce of the United States and to act, if required to do so, as fiscal agents of the United States. You see, folks, they made sure that the Federal Reserve Board had the power to approve or to reject such application if, in its judgment, the amount of capital proposed to be set aside for foreign business is inadequate. Wow, the U.S. government, 100 years ago this weekend, having no formal control over the foreign operations of its banks. Did I mention the Federal Reserve banks are exempt from all taxation? Maybe that would have been important to mention. These people are very independent. They're independent of audits. They're independent of congressional supervision. They're independent of the American voter, folks. You have no control over them, but they're your Federal Reserve, and they're neither federal nor reserve. You see, the Federal Reserve claims that nobody owns it, that it is a, quote, independent entity within the government. It is subject to laws such as the Freedom of Information Act and the Privacy Act. Yet Congress gave the Federal Reserve the authority, the autonomy, to carry out its responsibilities insulated from any political pressure. How many of you know about the three parts of the Federal Reserve, the Board of Governors, the Regional Reserve Banks, and the Federal Open Market Committee? They all operate independently of the federal government to carry out the Fed's core responsibilities. And guess what? Once a member of a Board of Governors is appointed, he or she can be as independent as a U.S. Supreme Court judge, though the term is slightly shorter. As the nation's central bank, the Federal Reserve derives its authority from the U.S. Congress, but you see, once they let it out of the bag, there was no putting it back in. The only statements of ownership made by the Federal Reserve Board is an allusion to the 12 federal district banks. This circle puts us back at the beginning. Back at the beginning, for no information is provided regarding the ownership of the 12 federal district banks. Think about that for a minute, folks. This is your Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve will always debase your currency to take its cut and to guarantee that the government has a tax base available to feed its bureaucratic family. You see, your government that you think you control is a total slave of the Federal Reserve. Now, I could have opened up our show tonight with Creature from Jekyll Island by our friends Sons of Liberty, but instead I opened it up with our good friends Poker Face, and their song, I'd Rather Die Than Be Your Slave. Because if you think you're a slave to the U.S. government, think about how the government is a slave to the Federal Reserve. For example, analyze the latest real estate situation. When we had the real estate boom, there was a major boost in property taxes based on the new valuations of the property. Many people were surprised when they got their new tax bill. And that was the way to guarantee more money for the government coffers. Because they know people would do anything to keep their homes. What's another job or two or three per family? Hell, that's had both the kids and the family work two or three jobs. They won't give a damn. They're too busy playing on their smartphones and watching all their garbage on their iPads and their mobile devices. But they're paying for this government. And they're supplying the money, the ammunition for this government. Besides, these extra jobs provide so much more tax revenue for the government, and they don't allow people to really get themselves back on their feet again. This requires more daycare. This requires more babysitting services for families. This requires more income for the government. This causes more meals to be eaten out, which creates more sales tax for the government. Meanwhile, prices continue to go up, which creates more sales tax revenue for the government. Are you getting the point yet? Deflation is the end of government. At some point in the future, and maybe after we're all gone, your local, state, and federal government will all fail. This is the strategy of the Federal Reserve, folks. The majority of the people always believe that more is better. Knowing that and now having a quote-unquote democracy ensconced in the U.S., it was time to feed and breed. Prices always go up. Everything is wonderful, wonderful. Bring on a champagne lady. Alan Greenspan, Ben Bernanke, they all run that bubble machine. The monetary illusion serves to conceal the cost through currency debasement. And this assures the complete destruction of the society that embraces this perversion. Now, I'll step off my soapbox here in a moment, but here's the bottom line, folks. Any attempt to introduce logic into a dialogue will be defeated by claiming you're an elitist, devoid of compassion. Envy, hate, and manipulated passions are the hallmarks of democracies. While all this destruction is occurring, money diverted by the mechanism of currency debasement is constantly being transferred back to the British Crown in the corporate city of London. Any questions, folks? You're listening to the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. And we'll be back after this.
Gathering storm of fate and the ship. First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, we thank you for staying through the break there, and we are back, and we had a good time talking about our friends of the Federal Reserve, since they are celebrating what we are mourning, 100 years of the Federal Reserve as of Monday, 1913, folks, 100 years ago. Now we'll get back into some news of the day, and one of the stories I really want to talk about tonight is the way the mass media like to cover up for mass shooters. See, mass media and mass shooters kind of go hand in hand. And what I mean by that, you have this undeniable pattern that keeps emerging when it comes to high-profile shootings, despite the media's attempt to avoid connecting the dots. The media can almost immediately be seen attempting to link deranged shooters with the quote-unquote right wing, if we're going to buy into that left-right paradigm. And then as facts come in the desire to connect shooters to their political ideologies quickly eroding, the same antidepressant taking big government socialist occultist profile emerges. Let's go back to 2011. Tucson, Arizona shooter Jared Loughner, who viciously murdered six people in his unsuccessful attempt to take out U.S. Representative Gabriel Giffords. He was immediately deemed a right-winger. There was nothing right-wing about him, but that's what they called him. It was soon learned that he was a left-wing liberal, obsessed with drugs and mind control, and he liked to dress like the Grim Reaper and engage in occultic rituals. And despite initial reports by the mainstream press to paint the same picture, information now shows that last week's shooter in Colorado, Carl Haverson Pearson, was a devoted and opinionated socialist who blamed gun violence on Republicans. Let's go look at Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook gunman Adam Lanza, who murdered 20 children and 6 teachers, he exhibited the identical traits. Although the media attempted to connect him to the NRA, which is very inaccurate. Instead, Lanza, who admittedly had health issues mentally, was obsessed with playing his video games and updating his online devil worship page. That's from the Daily Mail in the United Kingdom, folks, not for me. You see, Aurora Theater shooter James Holmes, he was falsely labeled a member of the Tea Party by ABC News. But then private investigator Bill Warner, renowned private investigator Warner, proved that he was actually linked to the Occupy movement. Hooked on several prescription drugs, including painkillers, Holmes began stockpiling weapons. After entering a neuroscience class to learn the inner workings of the human brain. And similarly, if you go back to the tragic Columbine shooting, left-wing shooters Harrison and Klebold, if you remember them, they referred to themselves as gods, and they were taking SSRIs for mental health issues. I talked on this show months ago about the connections between mental health issues and the drugs that supposedly help these mental health and actually make them worse. Excuse me. Despite millions of responsible Americans owning firearms, calls to disarm law-abiding citizens go up quickly in states like California, New York, and Illinois. Even with gun homicide at a 20-year low, the media still refuses to link the common traits of most mass shootings. And I see we do have another caller on the air. And again, not screening these calls, uncensored, unsolicited. We go back to the airwaves. Caller, are you on the air? Who is this?
Hi, Dale. Paul Holliger here.
A good friend, Paul, from Stop It. How are you, Paul?
Well, first of all, I've had great difficulty getting into the show tonight on the telephone number. I'm not sure what was going on with Block Talk, but the...
I have no idea, Paul. We had more people lined up on the phone lines than I've seen in months, and then they come on to drop off and come on to drop off, so I don't know if that's... I'm guessing that's a Block Talk issue since you're telling me that was your situation.
Yeah, I had trouble even... It wouldn't even let me listen in the queue there for a while, Dale. But anyway, I digress. Hey, listen.
That's all right.
I wanted to get your take on something that the mainstream media has essentially made up its mind on and is already out there promoting its point of view. But with all these school shootings, it seems like there is kind of a pattern with that. And that is, the pattern seems to be under 30-somethings, usually white guys, who have access to firearms. And I wanted to find out how big a factor do you think that particular generation has been impacted by all of these video games, these realistic shoot 'em up video games?
Well, I know that people will say it demoralizes them, and I don't disagree with that, but I'm much more inclined to blame these antidepressants I've been talking about than I do the video games, because as the bullet points are lined up and connected, we see that their political ideologies tend to be big government, and they tend to be obsessed with mind control drugs and occultic rituals. So I guess I don't have enough experience playing the video games to see if there's occultic rituals involved there, but I'm more concerned with all these antidepressants that their schools and their counselors and their doctors all put them on, Paul.
Well, you're even with that having been said, is there a correlation between the video games, the violent video games, and the fact that these kids are being prescribed all of this antidepressant meds? One of the things that your listeners don't know that I'm over the age of 50, and I'll tell you, this current crop of kids under the age of 30, I'm having a hard time totally discounting that there's no connection. The mainstream media wants us to believe there's no connection.
Between
what the kids in that age range have been doing for the last decade or two, okay?
I think if they're obsessed with them, there is a connection, Paul, but I think that's the thing. I think there's a percentage, and I don't know the numbers, and I wouldn't begin to guess. I think there's some of those kids in that age group you document that are obsessed with those video games. So, yeah, if that's their obsession, and then they live it out. But I think there's others who video games is just their culture. It's their radio or their TV. And so some of them can take it and go on. I mean, I have hope in the young generation because we see that they're the liberty-minded folks who are getting involved and trying to, as Ed Springsteen said on the show last week, talking about how the younger people would like to impeach the president. And we know these polls are coming out that say that more and more people see big government as part of the problem. So I think I have hope in some of the generation from that. I guess I just don't want to paint them with too broad a brush.
Well, my primary point is, of course, how much of an influence do video games have on these kids deciding to act out? There's always has been an element of kids that have troubles that they just can't get a handle on, and they decide that they're going to do something drastic in an effort to relieve their pain, okay? For example, when I was in high school, at Seneca High School, we had a kid by the name of Carl. I won't mention his last name. I remember it vividly because it happened in high school. But Carl ended up in his senior year going out to a field off of Taylorsville Road and blowing his brains out with a shotgun. Now, obviously Carl was troubled, but in that era, he said, the pain is too great. I'm going to end my pain. But it, he was not influenced to go take somebody out with him. But today, and that was pre-video games. In fact, the only video games that we had were Space Invaders, for heaven's sakes, you know. And that,
yeah, I mean, we're not going to blame pinball games on that, right?
Exactly. And that, those games, by today's standards, are benign, okay? But,
well, they're very one-dimensional. I mean, that's why I said they're living out the video games now. And again, I've gotten on rants about the zombies that these smartphones have turned people into. You and I talked about that a week or two ago. But doesn't some of it, Paul, fall back on what I said earlier about 100 years of the Federal Reserve controlling us? And I think there's a connection, because when they control the people, they got to go out and get 3 and 4 and 5 jobs. So there's no parents in the homes to raise the kids. So the video games have to raise the kids. Go ahead.
Well, if you're saying the video games were substitute parents, I'll agree with that. I will agree with that. Okay. And
so who's
going
to be a better parent? The one who can't be there because they're having to, again, some of it's taxes, some of it is greed, because people want more and more stuff, so they feel like they have to get out there and work to buy stuff they don't want with money they don't have to impress people they don't like. And again, they do that, and we're getting them. They're paying more for child care and taxes and transportation and wear and tear on their vehicle and gas than they're going to really get out of it. So they'd be smarter and better off if they were the ones parenting their children instead of the video games.
If you're suggesting that the way the government has structured things in this country to make it difficult for families to live and have an enjoyable life, I would say that you're right on that, because I think it is harder today to have a decent life in the United States for a family than it was 30 years ago. I really do. And
well, Paul, you're talking about these kids and the video games, and like you said, going back to the example of the kid you used even before video games. But in a point of fact, there's also a primary reason that these quote unquote liberal psychologists have steadily moved our culture away. Remember, we used to institutionalize people if they were quote-unquote psychopaths, and I'm not saying that that was the smart path to take, but now they medicate them. I mean, why was someone like Charlie Manson not riding the electric chair within a year of his murderous spree? And there were many more, like Berkowitz and Bundy and Gacy and so on, but they believe in medicating them instead of punishing them or institutionalizing them.
Dale, I can't disagree with what you're saying, because we saw that when my kids were in elementary school. My son had a bit of a behavior problem, and the psychologist that he was referred to by the school wanted to do just that, and we refused to do that, and we ended up leaving that psychologist. So I think that the pressure to conform and to have the kids become their own little the robots that the state wants it or the society says they want, I think you got a point there. I think that's why the medications have increased.
Well, Paul, it's a rare thing to hear someone say or see someone write today about the folly of trying to manage something that's evil instead of being progressive and being tolerant. And what is the lure of tolerance really promoted? It only promotes apathy and complacency. People don't know and don't care about what's going on, and they're so tolerant, Paul, that it leads me to the other story that we want to talk about, and that's them basically ostracizing a guy who's now on television because he told the truth about anatomy and homosexuality. And I think you know what I'm talking about, the Duck Dynasty story, Paul. Have you been following that today?
I've heard about it, Dale, and I'm not a Duck Dynasty viewer.
But it's just the fact that they gave this guy a TV show and they knew what they were about. They knew that they were quote-unquote rednecks. They knew they weren't the politically correct croissant and fruit and nuts crowd. They knew they weren't the Volvo driving, Birkenstock wearing hippies. But they gave them a show, and people related to the show because I read that it became the biggest ratings draw in the history of cable TV for a show. And now, I guess maybe since money is the end of it all, money is what it all comes back to, maybe if enough people threaten to go away from this channel and not watch it, they'll get away from it. But they're supposed to be so tolerant. I mean, the gay rights crowd is supposed to be so tolerant, Paul, but if you say something that doesn't agree with everything they say, they're not so tolerant.
Well, you're simply stating the fact that the tolerance is, that's a one-way street, and it is the classic liberal double standard. The liberal folks, they want to tell everyone else how to live their lives, and they don't want to be held accountable to anybody for any reason. So I just see that as the norm for the liberal folks. That's the norm for them.
I don't even think it's about the First Amendment, because there was a story I read today over in Uber Liberal Salon, and it was by Daniel Daddario, and he had it right. He was talking about that he didn't think that this Duck Dynasty dust-up was about the First Amendment, that A&E has the right to suspend whatever actor or television show it deems appropriate. But he basically talks about how it's more about government handing out special rights to preferential groups than it is about the First Amendment. The guy sat there and did an interview with GQ Magazine, and God knows why he did an interview with GQ Magazine. I don't connect Duck Dynasty and GQ Magazine. That's like one of those things that doesn't go with the other on Sesame Street. But they asked him his opinion on stuff, so they set him up. They knew what kind of answer he was going to give. They knew he was going to be honest. And then he said, that's my opinion. But yet now, because he tells everybody that's his opinion, he's ostracized. I mean, we saw this 20 years ago with John Rocker in baseball when he told the truth about what he saw in the subways in New York City. And Salon Magazine does not tread this territory because it supports the gay agenda, as does the rest of the so-called left. Instead, it's talking about the fact that we confuse the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and we have these special government-granted rights for some groups at the expense of other groups. And that's just simple group thinking. And I know Paul's dropped off. I don't know if it's part of the problem with Blog Talk tonight or what, folks. Paul said that he had a problem getting into the airwaves. So I hope if you all are listening and you had a problem getting in, you understand that there apparently is a Blog Talk program, as our good friend Paul from Stop It has brought to our attention. But again, to get back on that story about today's news, it doesn't mean you agree with the guy, folks. He told you it's his opinion. But this is the top story in all the rage over on Drudge Report now, because people are backing this gentleman who was on Duck Dynasty. And I'm not a regular viewer of the show either. I don't pretend to know everything about the show, but I do know it was number one rated in cable television history. Phil Robertson is a gentleman's name who has been suspended indefinitely from the TV show because of his, quote, anti-gay remarks. And they asked him what he thought, and he gave them answers, and they gave him his honest opinion, and they don't like it when people give their honest opinion if it's not politically correct. If it had been a politically correct opinion, well, then it would have been fine. It's do as we say and not as we do. We are so open and tolerant as long as you believe what we tell you to believe. As long as you walk that line and don't steer away from the plantation and think exactly what we tell you to think. With all the disasters that we see around us, life-threatening issues, yet people will nag and whine and complain and moan and bitch about this comment by this guy. It's like a magician using the look over here, my lovely assistant, while I load the rabbit in the hat trick. It's the same thing. And this is why we've been asking Americans to rise up against this type of tyranny. We don't believe in special rights. I get slack from both sides. I get slack from both sides, folks. Because I'm not trying to tell the gay people what to do, but I also don't want them telling us what to do. So because I don't want to go knock on their doors and see what they're doing behind closed doors, it's none of my business, and I don't care, somehow I'm not conservative enough. But on the other hand, if I don't embrace everything they do, from taking over the networks to the industries to the governments to the schools, then I'm somehow bigoted. No, we just don't believe in group rights. The First Amendment is under attack, but when you have group rights being shoved down your throat, this television story example is perfect example of that. Perfect example of that. It's by design that they tear you down and build you back up the way they want you to be. Paul and I just talked about the way things were even before the video games. And like I said, if people are working 3 and 4 and 5 jobs, and guess what? Next week is Christmas, so we're talking about this quote-unquote Christian holiday Christmas. Folks, I'm a Christian and I'm a capitalist. But the Christmas holiday decorations pervert both capitalism and Christmas. Because it's not real Christianity and it's not real capitalism. And that's what you got. You got people out there with the ever-devaluing dollar, which is worth very little, and they can get very few of them in their hands. And every 2 or 3 of them they get, dollar, 67 cents to a dollar of every 2 or 3 they have goes back to the government to support the welfare class. There's a reason that Ed Springs and I talked last week about the millennials turning against Obama and wanting a recall. There's a reason that there are polls out now talking about how more and more people think that big government is one of our problems. There's a reason that people are disgusted with both parties in Congress, in the Senate, in the governorships, in the state legislatures, in the local governments. We'll be back for a closing rant.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we appreciate you hanging with us, folks, tonight. We apologize for it. Paul explained to us where the technical difficulties with Blog Talk. I'm sure that Ed Springsteen will be made aware of that. And we get down to our closing story of tonight. And I wanted to talk about earlier about the media and the mass shooters, and we did. And I wanted to talk about this ridiculous show of lack of openness, lack of tolerance for the guys at Duck Dynasty, and we did. And now we get down to the nitty-gritty about some of these political races. And I've told you this was time that was coming, and now we are less than 4 or 5 weeks away from the deadline to file for office on many of these political races. And as we said last week, and we'll say it again, all the offices that are up for election this year, next year, excuse me, 2014, we know that 1/3 of all the U.S. Senate races are up for election next year. We know that even though they don't want you to know about it in the mainstream press and in the neocon side of the Republican Party, we know that Mitch McConnell's seat is up next year. We know that all 435 U.S. House seats are up next year. We know that all 100 state House seats are up next year. We know that 1/2 of state Senate seats are up next year. We know that 1/2 of the Metro Council seats are up next year. We know over 1/2 of the local school board seats are up next year. We know all the Kentucky Court of Appeals, Circuit Court, and District Court judges are all up for election next year. And the holidays are coming around. Everybody's preoccupied with it. Everybody's preoccupied with this perversion of Christianity and capitalism called Christmas. And people aren't paying attention to the establishment hacks, the big government progressives, we'll call them. Or as I told Ed last week, we should start calling some of these neocon Republicans undocumented Democrats. because that's pretty much what they are. They run across the lines of the alley there in the government and the Congress, just like the undocumented workers run across the border. So we start calling them undocumented Democrats. And what Ronald Reagan said was, we don't intend to turn the Republican Party over to the traitors in the battles. We will have no more of those candidates who are pledged to the same goals as our opposition and who seek our support. Turning the party over to the so-called moderates wouldn't make any sense at all. And Thomas Paine, who I just mentioned earlier, if you want to go look up his American Crisis that was published today in 1776, Thomas Paine, only 26 years later, had said, a thing moderately good is not so good as it ought to be. Moderation in temper is always a virtue, but moderation in principle is always a vice. And Samuel Adams said, if you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, then go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsel or your arms. He said, crouch down and lick the hands that feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you are a countryman. That's what Samuel Adams said, because he had the balls to say it. In a society today, there are hardly any men who have the balls to say it. And we know that most of the politicians have become part of the problem. That's why more and more people see big government as one of our problems. You need to reelect nobody. You need to nullify. You need to take back your government. So you decide, are you going to be one of the bootlickers that Samuel Adams preached against? Are you going to stand up against this moderation BS? Are you going to stand up against the traitors in your own party? Are you going to take it back? You can stand up for freedom, or you can fall down and die at the hands of the New World Order. Time is ticking, folks. It's your move.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.